Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know what's crazy? I don't remember a lot of stuff. It's like I was there.
How you a DJ and you don't remember?
Okay, so here's the thing. I think me being in it is kind of what causes me not to remember it, because I really didn't know that it was such a big deal.
I understand that because you were in it.
Yeah, I had no idea. It wasn't until I was in college that some girl told me, like how big a deal it was, and she wasn't from California, and the fact that she knew, I was just like, "What do you know about that?"
Right.
And she was like, "Yeah, girl, everybody knows about that." And I was just it was like years later that I found out that it was such like a global sensation like that, and people actually know their names and stuff. Right. Like I did not know it was that big a deal. So a lot of times when that music was coming out, like I would hear it and know it just off of familiarity.
Right.
But like, I guess I just didn't take it like seriously. So a lot of times I don't be remembering the names of songs, unless it was real big, but the names of artists, the names of songs, like I don't be remembering unless it was like a personal fave. But was I like super into it? Like,
how you a DJ and you're not like,
I remember the important stuff.
Jack Harlow. Are you being Jack Harlow right now?
No.
We're going to talk about that, though.
No, I remember the important stuff, but it was just like, I just wasn't into it. And I wasn't a DJ at the time. I mean, I've always been into music.
Right.
But I think that's kind of the part of it, too, because I was just like, I didn't. And it wasn't just me. This was the kind of the general view of that wasn't real music.
Yeah, I think, too, like you kind of said, I probably said this, when you're in it, you don't see it. Then when you step out and look back, you're like, shit, I was a part of that whole, but not really knowing, living in it, you know what I mean? Didn't Blueface go to your school, too?
I don't think so. I feel like I would have heard about that, but he's a lot younger than me, I think.
Okay. I feel like when
he is from the area that I grew up in, though,
because
he's from Schoolyard.
Mustard is from
he's from Midtown City. Too.
You ain't banging though, right?
No.
You affiliated?
Not even.
Not more.
My mama, the way my mama was, just no. You had to play a sport or an instrument, and by the time you were done with that, you didn't have time to gang bang.
Right. I never got caught up. Our cousins and family and shit though, homies and people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We kinda are affiliated in a way. Being from LA.
Right. Yeah, you're going to know some gangbangers. Yeah. Like, that's.
I mean, your best friend may not bang, but their older sister or brother.
Right.
In the streets, which
exactly.
Means, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So it kind of always happened like that. My daddy was hood, though. So my dad is always say, one call away.
My parents are a lot older, too. So they actually kind of bypassed the gangbang area, like the era. They were already grown by the time that kind of came around. So even they didn't really, you know, they weren't in it either. So it really wasn't
my dad is my dad is 63.
So that's about my mom's age. My dad is probably like 5 years older than your dad.
Oh, my dad was, he got the crack era in the gangs. Shotgun.
I mean, yeah. Well, I don't know. I feel like at that age, because what if they're born in the 50s?
Yeah,
50s. It was kind of like you could or could.
Okay. But if you're born, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, if you was born in like
the
70s,
you
kind of didn't have no choice. It was everywhere in your upbringing.
Yeah.
When you're born in the 50s, you kind of like, it's kind of your decision.
Right.
I
never heard it that way before, but that is so real.
Yeah.
Because my uncles, after my dad, kind of had no choice but to be.
Yeah.
And my dad, when my dad tells stories, he tells stories of before, you know, he got into street life and, you know what I mean? It was still white people in South Central.
Right, exactly. You know what I like mean? Like, my dad, he's old enough to remember when Inglewood was all white. And he, to this day, still hates Inglewood because it's a racist city. But even though it's...
and, like, 85% of the police is black.
Right.
You know, it's crazy, but...
This podcaster named Sean Allen...
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
Captain ASAP, follow wherever you listen to podcasts. Spotify, Apple listeners, rate and write a review. I got a special guest on the mic. That's who you hear. LA's own DJ Got A Lot. And tell me about this Got A Lot. What do you got a lot of?
Everybody like to ask me that. I like to let people guess. But no,
That could be a good and bad thing. That could be very dangerous.
I know.
Hashtag me too.
So I've had some issues. I'm like, whoa, calm down.
Right.
You're doing too much. So I guess it's backfired sometimes. But for the most part, like, it's kind of, I like to just let people, because people going to play with it. Got a lot of what? Got right. a lot, oh, you got a lot of ass? But no, I don't actually. But thanks. or some people, you know, they're like, oh, what, you got a lot of music? I'll be like, yeah. Right. You got a lot of skill? Yeah. So it's balanced. But I got the name because my mom is a DJ.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's dope.
My mom is a DJ. Shout out DJ Cookie.
On the ones and twos.
Yeah, she's been DJing my whole life.
Wow.
And she always, like, carried a lot of, she was collecting music even before.
Your mom carried a lot of shit.
She carried a lot of music. And she used to always say, like, she's always say, oh, my DJ name should have been DJ Got It All, because I got it all.
Oh, wow.
And then she was like, I'm going to give that name to you. And I just always still felt like it was her name, though, because she used to say it so much. So I kind of, like, I took the name, but I kind of remixed it a little bit, because I still feel like her musical knowledge surpasses mine. So I'm like, okay, you got it all. I got a lot.
Right,
you got it all, but I got a lot. So I'll stick with that.
And that's shout out to moms, too. I came up
with it. Yeah.
Because you're paying, like, homage to her.
Pretty much.
Just about to say your name.
Yeah.
Do your mom still play?
She does. She said she was going to retire, like, 10 years ago, but she don't, like, if somebody calls her for a gig, she doesn't say no.
Does she know how to do all, like, the software and all that?
Yeah.
Wow.
She grew with the craft, so she never, like, as soon as people stopped using vinyl, she did, too. She started using CDs. And then, so I learned actually how to DJ off a CD. And so from there, she did stick with CDs for a little while, because to jump from physical to all your music being, you know, on the computer.
Right.
It was a lot of work for her to transfer all of that, especially because she was literally putting the CD in the computer drive.
Right.
Saving it to iTunes or whatever. And then...
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it was a lot of work. So she did take a while to go from CDs to Serato. Well, first she went to, what is it? Digital DJ. No, not digital DJ. Virtual DJ.
What the hell is virtual DJ?
It's so Serato and virtual DJ kind of... Virtual DJ came out first, I think. But there, it's like a DJing software. But... they both kind of came out at the same time, and people were kind of using them. Like,
right.
It was like either or at first, but then Serato just kind of took off.
I come from the era of DJ, so my first knowledge of DJing is turntables,
mm-hmm.
You know? And now we got everybody on, and I'm not that old. I graduated in 2000s or whatever, but, you know, we got the turntables. That's Kid Capri, Funk Master Flex, Angie Martinez, you know what I mean? That whole, and now people are on the computers. So, like, do people look down on people who don't know how to play turntables, like physical turntables? Is that a thing?
Yes, that is a thing.
Oh, wow.
Your
mom knows how to do both.
My mom knows how to do both. She's not one of them people who look down. She, like I said, as soon as she had the opportunity to not carry those heavy-ass crates, she was done with it.
Wow.
So I get both. I feel like a lot of the older DJs who, not a lot, it's just maybe half and half. a lot of the older dudes who actually had to carry those crates, they don't look down on me, in my experience.
Right.
They don't look down on me. Like, they think it's cool.
Right.
They think it's, you know, they love it. There is some people who feel like, oh, if you don't know how to do that, then you're not a real DJ. I don't agree, obviously.
DJ Cookie is lit, though, because she is my parents' age, and she was, that's like a male-dominated field.
Yes,
so for
exactly.
her to be in the game for so long, mm-hmm. and then pass it down to you, you
yeah.
making your name, you know what I mean? Your entry into DJing is different than other female DJs because you had the reference of your mother.
Yeah.
So were you aware that it was like a male-dominated thing?
Or? I was still aware because one thing about my mama, she gonna tell me everything.
Right.
And my mama didn't train me up to like be a DJ.
Right.
She wasn't never teaching me how to DJ because she wanted me to be a DJ. I'm the last of three, and the two before me, she kind of tried to do that, and they didn't want to be DJs.
Right.
So I guess she, like, by the time she got to me, like, she didn't put it on me. But I always just had a natural.
A knack for it.
Yeah, I just always had a natural attraction to it. Like, I've always just been like, what does this button do? What does that do? How do you do that? And so I just kind of did it on my own. Like, even when I went and bought my own equipment and everything, I just did it on my own. But my mom, she's a talker. So, everything that she was dealing with, yeah, she talks a lot on the
wow.
mic. But everything that she would be dealing with being a female, I would hear it.
Right.
You know, she didn't hide it from me or anything.
That's pretty dope, though. Have you guys played together?
We have.
When was the last time?
Probably like last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What type of music is your mom playing?
Like I
Cookout
said,
music?
she liked to stay up on it.
Oh,
my
wow.
mom would be telling me about stuff.
That's dope.
Like, damn. I think the last song she told me about, and I hadn't heard it, and I didn't know it was going to be a hit, was A Whole Lot of Money by Bia. She was like, you got that song?
Oh, so your mom has an ear.
Yes.
Wow.
She was like, you got that song? I'm like, what song? She's like, Whole Lot of Money by Bia. I'm like, who is Bia? I don't know who she was talking about. I didn't know
right.
nothing about the song. I just went and listened to it. I'm like, okay, it is a little bit banger. You know, it's a banger. But some stuff you hear to be a banger, and it still don't blow up.
Right.
And it, like, literally, I think, like, a week later, I was like, damn, I'm hearing that song. I am hearing that song a lot. She was like, you got it? I'm like, yeah, I got it. Because she be calling me to make sure, like, you own it. So, yeah, my mama, she be on it. So we could both do each other, like, so a lot of times, like, let's say this we do a mixed crowd.
Right.
So I'll kind of let her play the oldies. She'll let me play the younger stuff.
Right.
But if we wanted to switch, we could.
That's
I could
dope.
Play the older stuff, and she could play the younger stuff.
I'm going to have to get, we'll have to get DJ Cookie in the chair because I want to hear her stories because.
Oh, man.
I know she got stories for days. Have you played at World on Wheels?
No.
Has she played?
I don't think so. So my mom.
What are the iconic venues that your mother has played that you have played at?
So the thing with my mom, and I guess that we have in common, is I think when she first started DJing, she was DJing venues and stuff at
right.
first. But then as soon as she realized, like, it's not that much money.
Right.
You make more money doing private events, birthday parties,
yeah.
weddings, that type of stuff. She focused on that. So
right.
she's always been kind of more of a private
okay.
event thing. Because even when I told her, like, I wanted to do, like, bars and stuff, because I just want to do it, it's not for the money.
For a hobby.
I just want to do it because, first right. of all, it's a different type of crowd. And then it just, you get more publicity.
Right.
She was just like, oh, no. So I guess she just had bad experiences being underpaid in those type of venues.
Shout out to DJ Cookie, though. Yeah. What song is she going to play by the end of the night that I know she's going to play?
I don't really work like that.
Okay.
I judge the crowd. And what I think will make them go nuts depends on how I have stereotyped them for the night. I always kind of say, like, DJing is like one of the only jobs where it's like you need to stereotype people.
Wow. Do you have like a specific crowd or genre that you like to go to, run to?
Well, I'm black, so I like working for black people. But I'll be honest, I do a lot of Hispanic parties.
Wow.
I got this from my mom. So when I first started DJing, I just decided I'm not turning nothing down.
Right.
I don't care if y'all want me to do a genre that I've never heard of in my life. I didn't turn it down.
Right.
So I did a lot of, like, I did a couple of EDM parties.
Oh, wow.
I did a country wedding where they didn't want to hear anything if it was not country.
Wow.
And I don't listen to country. I'm not about to be. I worked it out because I did my research.
Right.
And I know a little bit of country, but.
Leanne Rimes, Taylor's old school Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I probably know like a lot of old stuff. Like I didn't know like what's the new hot country songs. I really didn't know, but I did my research. You know, they usually, it was a wedding, so they hired me.
But you threw in, like, is California Love a wedding song? That's on a wedding playlist.
It can be. You got to judge your crowd. I wouldn't, like, me personally, I kind of hate that song.
It's, like, cheesy now,
but,
right?
Yeah, it's cheesy, but sometimes the cheesy stuff work depending on your audience. When I play for a lighter complected crowd, the cheesy stuff hit harder.
Right.
And then if I go too deep in the crates, they gonna sit down and look at me crazy. So you gotta.
What's the cheesy playlist?
I'll say a song that I be playing. Well, that I only play it if they ask for it because I really hate the song, but they do be asking for it, and that's the Cha Cha Slide.
Is that cheesy?
Yes. Yes.
Cha Cha Slide.
Yeah.
What is the other one called?
There's the
Cupid Shuffle.
There's the Cupid Shuffle, a little bit better. The Wobble is not cheesy to me, but that Cha Cha, oh God, I hate playing
That's what would it go? One step now, Tom.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
I feel like they're all the same. I feel like
they all the same to you.
Yeah, they're very black.
It's levels for me.
Wow. The wobble is a little bit more edgy.
Yeah.
A little bit more, you know what I mean? What kind of music is that in? Is that rap?
Well, the Wobble is. But
my mama.
Otherwise, they're line dance songs.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if they get bread off those songs.
Hell yeah.
Because they've been playing the Cha Cha Slide since the beginning of time.
Yeah, I'm certain they do.
You know what song I think is on a cheesy playlist now? That wasn't when it came out, Gene Wine Pony. I feel like that's like a wedding song.
Yeah, I definitely play that for. It's a couple of songs that when they came out, they was like hot black songs.
Right.
But now I don't even really play them for black people because it's not going to get a reaction.
Right.
So I'll say Pony is one of them ones. I could play Pony for black people though. It depends on the crowd. I'll say like No Diggity is one of them songs.
Yeah.
California Love, one of them songs. Get Low by the Yin Yang Twins.
Yeah.
They go crazy for Get Low. I love playing it for white people. They go crazy. And they kind of give you kind of, because it is kind of cheesy for us.
Right.
So I don't play it. So I go a while without hearing it sometimes. And then I play it for him and I get them and I get that reaction of kind of like when it first came out. Like it's the hot new shit. And it's fun.
That is,
I like
it. You know what song is creeping on a cheesy playlist?
What?
And y'all wearing it out. This is my beef with DJs. Can we talk? We got to retire that.
Yeah, I be trying to play other Tevin Campbell songs.
But the response to that song.
Response to the song is great. And as a DJ, you love when they gonna sing along, especially if they doing it at the top of their lungs. And that is one of them songs that they're gonna sing along at the top of their lungs.
How long that song has been on the playlist? I feel like that just happened within. Like,
yeah, it ain't always been like a for sure go to. Almost it's that and Before I Let Go.
Blackstreet?
No.
Beyonce or the.
Well, Beyonce remixes, but the Frankie Beverly and Maze one.
Okay, that's a cookout song. So that song has always been on the playlist.
It's always been on the playlist, but it wasn't always like because. Like you said, it was a cookout song when older people you hear it.
Right.
But now we hearing it like at young everything. People.
Do you think that Beyonce kind of sparked the interest?
It happened
in that?
Before.
Oh wow.
Maybe Beyonce did it because it was kind of.
Right. Yeah. Oh wow. You know it's a bomb cookout song.
What?
And I don't think you get enough love. Candy Cameo.
I play that one a lot.
But it's like I can never get tired of that. Yeah. And I feel like when I was in the UK, that's what they play in the UK. That's like their we play Before I Let Go, or like an Earth, Wind, and Fire song.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's like our cookout song. They play Candy. They don't play Before I Let Go at all in the UK. Mm. And when Candy came on, when I was out there one time, everybody got up and just went crazy. I was like, what? And he was like, you don't know this song? You don't know? Oh, what do you mean? I don't know. They're from the United States. How do you know this shit? And then I asked my friends and shit. And I was like, what's the cookout song? Everybody I asked from the UK or Europe, what's the cookout song? They would say Cameo, Candy, Cameo, Candy. Mm. I'm like, oh.
Okay.
But I never get tired of that. I never get tired of any of the cookout songs. But I do think that the Tammy Campbell thing is becoming, I don't know.
Kind of like a cheat code.
Yeah. Which is okay. And I guess the problem with that is, like, Tammy Campbell got so many other good songs.
I know, yeah.
That kind of shit on Can We Talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it's almost like if you play those other songs, then it almost kind of your crowd is like, well, then now I know you're going to play Can We Talk because you played this other Tammy Campbell song. You got to play this one too. So it becomes like more of a requirement to play it. I mean, I still love that song. I'm not tired of it yet.
Yo, since I got your attention, if you haven't, make sure you follow the spot wherever you listen to podcasts. And Apple and Spotify listeners, don't forget to rate and write a review.
You know what song I really like to play because it always... Oh,
wait. Back to the cheesy playlist.
Oh, okay.
Montel Jordan, This Is How We Do It.
Definitely for
yes
them. Don't play it for us. I do not play it for us. No. Right. But yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely pull that out for other people.
But what are you saying?
I'll say one of the songs I really love playing that always gets a really good response. Is On the Hotline by Pretty Ricky.
Oh wow.
It
from everybody?
From everybody. Honestly, if they under 40.
Wow. I mean that was a great song.
But I think that's what people be thinking, like, oh, cause the beat, like, it come on and people be like, oh shit. Like, it's not necessarily, I think more DJs are starting to catch on, because at first I felt like it was just like me, and then I'll be going to more stuff and I'm like, ah, now everybody playing it a lot. I think people catching on that's the one.
Wow.
But
that is interesting you say that, because okay, I see it. I see Pretty Ricky on the Hotline. I see people responding to that.
Yeah, they respond to that well. Like, and if your crowd is dead,
for a number of reasons too, because of the time it represented, the time it came out, the way music was. I mean, the guy just went to prison, so it's a lot of, you know what I mean, social media banter around that.
I'll say one of my cheat codes is, it's not a song, because you asked, like, what's like my thing that I know is going to get people going. I'll stereotype my crowd. Whatever was like the hot shit that came out when they were about 20,
right,
that's the song.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. So, or teenager, older right. teenager, though.
Right.
Whatever that is. So, if the crowd is 30 and the song is about 10 to 12 years old, whatever the songs was that super hot at that time, that's the one that's going to give them that nostalgia.
Right.
And just turn them up, take them back, but still take them back without them feeling like it's an oldie. You know?
Let me ask you this. I feel like this is an LA thing. I say this is an LA thing because my friends from New York came out here. They were like bugging out about it. They had like a gospel set at the club one time.
Oh, yeah. That's a new hot thing too.
Okay. So my friends from New York came out here and they go to Atlanta and shit all the time. They were playing like Kirk Franklin and Mary Shackles. And they were like bugging out. They were like, they're playing gospel at the club. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, so that's a new thing.
New-ish. I'll say like past 5 years or so.
Okay. How do you feel about that?
I like it because I love gospel.
Right.
I'll say I am a little bit religious.
Right.
So, like the first time I experienced it, I did feel uncomfortable.
Right.
But then it was just like, it kind of goes away real fast and you get into it because it's your song.
I mean, Shackles is a G-Funk classic, so very West Coast. Shout out to Mary.
At the end of the day, if it's your song, like,
I mean, it's positive. We're having a positive time. So
yeah.
Kind of sneak a word in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. As long as I don't see y'all twerking to it, that's what I'd be like, okay, y'all doing too much.
Let them twerk. Let them twerk.
No, I'd be like, no.
But here at ASAP, we get to know our first-time guests, and what we do is icebreaker. 5 questions, you only could pick one, okay?
Okay.
So you can't cheat. You can't say both. You can't say, you know what I mean?
I have to answer the question.
You have to answer the question. Okay. And we might dive into the question. We might just leave it alone. But you got to pick one, okay?
Okay.
The first one, podcast or radio? And you don't have to...
Podcast.
Why podcast?
It's 2022. I really don't like... I'd be trying to listen to the radio to like try to see what's going on, and I never get no new information.
They play the same 5 songs.
Yeah. I don't like
LA
it.
LA radio do not play LA artists.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that too.
They really don't.
Yeah, so yeah, down with the radio.
Nipsey or Pac?
Oh.
It's a hard one. Now, we are on Crenshaw. Lamar Park, so.
I have to answer it?
You got to answer it.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so your answer could be, answer it.
That's hard. Especially because I just went to the Tupac exhibit and I have like a newfound love for Tupac right now. I know more Nipsey music.
So there's a safe answer here. You want me to help you out?
I guess this.
So we're cheating. Okay. We're gonna cheat. You can say Pac, and I don't think anybody would get mad. Nipsey existed because of Pac, right?
Yeah.
Pac kind of laid the foundation for Nipsey. You know what I mean?
So I was leaning towards Pac.
Okay.
But I know
Nipsey music more.
It's just he has a special place in my heart, and right. I was like 5 when Pac passed away.
Right.
So I didn't feel it like that when Nipsey passed away. Like I really felt it. Yeah. That was tough. But I guess Pac.
Turntables or software?
Software.
Why soft? Oh, I mean, because it's just your laptop.
It's easier.
Right. The Valley or the IE?
Ugh. I guess the Valley. They were both pretty bad.
The Valley is not that bad. Hey, I was in the Valley. The Valley fed me for about 10 years. Explain the Valley to the listeners.
See, you asked the wrong person because I was just about to say.
You don't know nothing about the Valley?
No, I'm an inner city West Side baby. I don't like the most south I really know is Inglewood. The most north I really know is like Midtown and West LA. When you start getting north of that, you lose me.
You a snob for real.
Well, it's not even a snob thing. I just never had to go to that area.
You know La Brea.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like Midtown and West LA, like that's my. I went to middle school and high school, so sometimes I'll kind of like say I'm from West LA because some people don't know Midtown.
Right.
So I'll just say I'm from West LA. Because I went to high school and middle school in West LA, so it was kind of my stomping.
But here's the thing: when you say West LA to a white person, they think on the other side of the 405. No,
the other side of the 405. See, that's a whole no. That's like
Brentwood, Mar Vista, Venice.
Well, yeah. I'm not far from that.
Right.
So I'm just where I went to high school. That was like just on. Just east of the 405, so just on this side.
But very, very central LA, like the most LA you could get is where you're from, to me.
Yeah, pretty much. I always tell people, if LA was a donut, I'm from the hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Midtown. Yeah. Now known as Mid-City.
Yeah.
Beyonce or Rihanna?
Beyonce.
What's wrong with Rihanna?
Nothing's wrong with Rihanna.
Who music plays better?
I didn't say whose
music is better. I said what plays better.
Beyonce.
Really? Yeah. I thought that Rihanna would play better.
She hasn't released anything in a long time. So
you be playing that Afrobeats Beyonce stuff?
Ugh, I run that album back so much. And then I just went to an Afrobeats club the other night, and I they was playing it. So I was like, okay, I know it's not just my American mind. Like,
what Afrobeats like club did you go to?
Los Globos. It was Afrobeats night.
Okay. Was a lot of black people?
It was. It was pretty fun.
You remember the Savoy?
Yeah.
Remember they had an Afro night?
I never been to the Afro night. I think I stopped going before they had that.
Do you remember, what's that place called? It was in Santa Monica. And all the Ethiopians used to be there. I feel like it was called West End or something.
That sounds familiar.
It was in Santa Monica. It used to pop on Friday. All the Ethiopian Eritrean people used to be there, playing all the Afrobeat shit. And then, like, those people, I don't know what happened to that club, but then it went to, then all those people, my friends that used to go to that one, started going to the Savoy. I was like, I ain't going to the Savoy.
Yeah, I stopped going to the Savoy a long time ago. It's weird in there.
That Afrobeat shit, though, it be knocking. I mean, everywhere. You go everywhere, they could play that. Mm-hmm. Travel across the globe. You're in Africa, Europe, Mexico. They play that Afrobeat shit. And yeah, I feel like America's late to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, I mean, it's working out. Shout out to Tims. Who else is Afrobeat?
Well, you know, I would say Wizkid is like probably the most Burna famous Boy. Burna Boy. I love Burna Boy.
Really? Drake.
Yeah, might as well. Shit, he a chameleon.
G-Eazy or Jack Harlow?
Jack Harlow.
Oh, word.
Yeah. I really liked his first album.
What about this album?
I haven't listened to this one.
How do you feel about him not knowing that Brandy and Ray J are singers?
I don't get it. I don't see how you don't know that. It's annoying.
Why is it annoying?
Because I liked him. And it's like, you acting like a white rapper now.
I don't think I like white rappers. I don't think I. But you like Jack Harlow.
I like, yeah. I'll say, like, his album. So, okay, when I was listening to that first album, I was like aware that it was very Drake-like.
Yeah.
And I was like, but it didn't stop me from liking it because I like Drake.
Right.
So it was just like, I definitely feel like
you're trying to be Drake.
Or even if maybe you're not even trying to be Drake, maybe you just one of Drake's sons.
Right.
Because he's in the right, okay, he's in the right age group to for Drake to be, you know.
I mean, they're bosom buddies now, so.
Are they? Yeah. Well, they're both white. No, but yeah, I was definitely kind of like, I kind of feel like I'm listening to a Drake album, but like I said, I like Drake, so I liked it. I don't know.
Name a Jack Harlow song besides First Class. See, I don't feel like I really like him. I feel like I feel like, okay, I'm about to black woman you, okay, and black women you, okay. So okay. That's a trigger warning. Anybody listening, I feel like black women like any white dude who cosplay black men, because you can't even name a boy song. You haven't named a song. You know what I mean? Y'all was like that with G-Eazy too. You remember when G-Eazy?
Did they do it with G-Eazy?
Yeah, y'all was acting a fool with G-Eazy.
So first of all, here's the thing. I do be listening to Jack Harlow. I just noticed recently, I think it's my age, I don't remember the names of songs. Now, when I'm looking in my computer and I see the name of a song, I know what I'm looking at.
Right.
Like a lot of times I'll search the artist and then I'll just look for the song that I'm looking for. But I don't know. I used to be really good with it, but I don't know. It must be my age or something, because I cannot remember the name of the song, but I listen to Jack Harlow on a regular basis for real.
I believe. But do you think that people are making a big deal about him not knowing that Brandy and Ray J are siblings? Should he know that?
Yeah, I feel like everybody should know that.
Right. Especially if you're like in music, right?
Yeah.
Black music.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you're a white person infiltrating black music,
yeah,
that should be a part of like black history music 101. You know what I mean?
But let me tell you something though, because
he was born in 1999 and The Boy's Mind came out in 1999. So why would he know though, right?
I disagree with that argument. Because if you had asked, like, okay, I was born in the 90s. If you had asked any of us if we know about, like, Stevie Wonder or anybody like that, you should know. It doesn't right. matter about when they came out. They are superstars.
Right.
And
they're the fabric of the music that you're actually emulating. So why wouldn't you know?
Right. And the music didn't stop. It wasn't like it came out in 99 and then nobody ever played it again.
Right.
People are still playing the song. So for, I just say, so here's my opinion. And it ain't just a white thing. Just the new generation in general, they do not know past music. I don't know why people think that that's okay. But to me, that is not okay.
Right,
if this is your craft, because if it was somebody who was a who wanted to be a director and they told you they didn't know who Stanley Kubrick was, you would see that as an issue. It doesn't right. matter that he's been, you know, it doesn't matter that he's old or
that he hasn't made shit in a while.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if he's dead or nothing.
I love you Stanley think Kubrick.
You would expect them to study their craft.
Right.
And now they are not expected to study their craft.
Okay.
Music is not even thought of. It's just like, oh, I can rap. I hear this and I think I can do what I hear. And it's like, well, no, you should know a lot more. You should know how to play a scale.
Right.
You should know at least what a scale is.
Right.
You should know what an arpeggio is. I don't care if you're a rapper.
Right.
You should know what these things, you should know music.
Okay, a lot of rappers don't know what that is.
But you should.
They should.
Because if you ask Kendrick Lamar, he knows.
Nah, Kendrick Lamar is not.
If you ask Tupac, he knows.
But those.
Well, if he was alive. But yes.
But okay, but Kendrick Lamar and Tupac are.
All like, of them rappers like, that you know came I mean? Out in the 90s knew music. Right, and right, if you right. think about it. In the 90s, all them songs is, especially on the West Coast, all them songs is songs samples. From the 70s.
Yeah.
So you know they know music.
Right.
And it wasn't like how today, like, oh, some producer just made this.
Like Lotto didn't and know that that was a.
Yeah, that wasn't, it wasn't like that. When they had a song that was a sample, they knew where the sample came from. Yeah. And you would know because they would reference even little melodies in their bars.
Yeah.
So you know they know the song. Right. There's no excuse for them being like this right, right now. I don't get it.
I mean, why are we letting them get away with it?
I don't know. I'm not in control because I would not be letting them get away with it.
I just kind of felt like Jack, I felt like it was extremely disrespectful. Like how you...
How do you not even at least just know Brandy's voice? Even right. if you didn't know the song.
Even her speaking voice.
Yeah, like.
That was crazy.
It pissed me off a little bit.
And here we are giving this white colonizer all the awards and number one songs. And I'm just like, we gotta really, really start gatekeeping our culture. We really, really have to start gatekeeping our culture.
Yeah, but we suck at it in general. We always have sucked at it.
We always want to
share with everybody.
You agree with me though, right?
Yeah, no, I agree.
I feel like there's a new consciousness rolling around.
I agree, but I don't know if I have the same hope you have.
Now, if you are in the culture and you know your history, because I don't think that a 22-year-old or 21-year-old black rapper needs to know the history. I think a 21-year-old white rapper should know the history, though. Because by virtue of being by proximity, you're black. So I'm the history just for existing. I think that Jack Harlow should have been a maestro when it came to...
I think...
You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but I disagree. I think...
Everybody needs to know that...
If we're just talking about people existing, then maybe not. Which right. I still kind of disagree. Everybody should know their history, but you're in a craft,
right? Right.
You don't know your craft if you don't know the history of it. Period.
Right.
Period.
That's wild though, and then another thing that's wild too is like, so coming up, it was who is Brandy's brother. Now it's who's Ray J's sister. She had a,
that's like, I can't even wrap my mind around that.
Well, Ray J is a little bit more relevant than Brandy. now.
I mean, right? He be in the blogs more now and on TV now. I don't know if I would say, I guess, what is the word relevant really mean?
Right. But the contribution that Brandy has made just to the world.
Yeah.
With her gift.
Yeah.
And this white man up here don't know anything.
It was very, very, very disappointing.
And just reeked of like privilege.
Yeah, it's very
number
much
one
so.
Song in the country, rapping, emulating black culture, and don't know nothing about black culture. Just woke up one day probably and said, I want to rap. Mm-hmm. And we welcomed him with open arms.
Yeah.
Gave him all the features.
And he'll swear up and down, like, he got it out the mud. And like, okay, where's the mud to you?
Did you see the black men carrying him over the mud?
He just keep, I might have to let him go. He keep doing stuff.
Was that a big deal or was that tone deaf?
It was clearly terrible optics.
Yeah. Then a couple days later, don't know who Brandy is.
It's all bad. It's not going well for him.
It's really not. You know, but again, we need to start gatekeeping the culture. And, you know, when you go to a new country and you apply for citizenship, you got to know, like, the national anthem and you got to know, like, the history and stuff.
Yeah.
So we need to really set up, like, some type of registry for these white, non-black rappers. So if they would decide they want to rap today, they need to know the history behind them, the music, and just the culture in general. You know what I mean? Because we really, really got to start gatekeeping and not letting anybody come into our culture and monetize it.
Yeah. I just feel like you need to, if you want to be in it, you need to be of it.
Right. Speaking of gatekeeping culture, DJ Got A Lot. Why do you let people on Twitter once a week make these general grand LA references?
I don't let them. I be fighting back.
What is that about? And it's always kind of like the same thing. Like, we're the black men in LA. Black men in LA don't like black women. Then you look at the person and you dig into their profile and where they're from and how they socialize. They're like in West Hollywood.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. The number one thing, LA's geography is expansive.
And people don't.
And it's so large that even I have a hard time wrapping my mind around how big it is.
Right.
So when you're used to a small town, because I don't care how big you think your city is, it's not as big as us.
Right.
So, and it's not even close.
People really do underestimate how big LA is.
Yeah. So They go to an area and they say, well, I went here, 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 and here. I know everything. Well, you touched maybe like 10% of LA, if that. So they make these grand generalizations off of, and most of the time they don't be going to where the real people is at.
South of the 10.
Yeah, they're north of the 10.
They're north of the 10.
Yeah. In Glendale.
I can't tell you how many times where someone has made a general LA reference who is not from LA, who live north of the 10. I would say the Valley, people in the Valley know LA. They know Long Beach, they know Inglewood, they know south of the 10 freeway.
Okay.
It's the people that's north of the 10 freeway and below the 101. North of the 10, below the 101, that always make these general
LA
references.
That's where I live now.
And these people who make these references, these things go viral so much because these people be like writers or actors or model. You know what I mean? They be like influencers. They'll make these statements.
I think some of the generalizations, they have a basis.
They're true because if you live in Hollywood, you're not going to find.
Right.
You know what
so,
I mean?
So, you know, they have a basis. And so it's partially true because it's their experience.
Right.
But it's just not true because they always take their experience and they put it
on the whole city.
The whole of the city. Yeah. And it's like, well, people who is native to the city don't have that experience.
Right.
Because we be not where you at.
Exactly. You know, I hate the one on black men. Where are the black men in LA? I'm like, girl, you live in Koreatown.
Yeah. For one. It's a lot of y'all.
Go to the district on Taco Tuesday.
Yeah.
Or go to Long Beach.
Yeah. I think, like, I'll say, like, for example, a city like Atlanta, where everywhere they go is black.
Right, right.
So they're not expecting to have to look for blackness. Because we do have a lower percentage of black people in comparison to other cities, for sure. And I think where maybe we get messed up is, like, when we be from our little section, and our section is black as fuck, and they be like, where are the black people at? We be like, what? Yeah, right here? Yeah. What you mean? Like, we everywhere, but really we only, like, right.
You know what's funny? That's funny you said that about Atlanta, because when you go to Atlanta, everybody you see is black. Mm-hmm. And then, because the stuff to do in Atlanta, the Hollywood of Atlanta or the downtown of Atlanta is black.
Yeah, it's all black.
Versus here in L.A.,
yeah,
people come to L.A. to go to Hollywood, to go to West Hollywood,
yeah,
downtown L.A., and it's not black.
Yeah. And then it's kind of dumb to just think L.A. is going to be all black. It's L.A.
Right.
It's Los Angeles, California.
I get so irritated, though. Every fucking week I see these tweets and I'm just like, this girl's not from L.A. She live out in fucking Chatsworth somewhere.
Yeah, and a lot of them be thinking black men from L.A. don't like black women. But
the black
their interactions with black men are not black men from L.A.
Right.
And so a lot of black men from other places do come here to get a little snow bunny or whatever it is, because that's what they where it's at. So they don't be interested in black women. So, like I said, they're, you know, the gender relations have a basis. It just gets all muddy, because it's like, I don't know what the percentage of transplants is, but there are some people who have, like,
I think the transplants have the biggest voice on the internet, the biggest LA voice on the internet. Yeah. We need to take that back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it's because we just be chilling.
Yeah. we hear on ASAP, you taking that voice, because the black LA voice should not be people who are not from LA.
Yeah.
It should be transplants. It should be people from LA.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're gatekeeping LA's culture too. So any transplants listening to this. But what I do like what's going on in black LA, I've noticed it lately, and tell me if you agree with me on this, there has been a lot of, like, black establishments popping up, like solid black establishments.
Yes. I don't know what happened during the pandemic, but y'all did y'all motherfucking thing.
They really did.
Because as every time I turn around, it's a new black owned and it's like some place. Nice shit, and it's too. Nice. I'll be like, hold on.
Right.
Like, it's a, I'm like, I'm happy too, because, you know, I'm a DJ. I'm like, okay, I'm coming. I'm going to be there eventually. I don't know you yet, but I'm going to get to know you.
What's your new favorite spot? Or not favorite, because we might have them on the pod, but what you've been fucking with lately?
Okay, low key, I like the district. One place I need to go, I haven't been yet, but it looks so popping, and that's Fins and Feathers.
That's all the way in Marina Del Rey, though.
It is all the way in Marina Del Rey. But, you know, Marina Del Rey has always kind of been, in my opinion, not a lot of black people live there, but we go there a lot
to shop
and do stuff. Like, you definitely going to see black people while you're there. Right. So I feel like that was a good little
Fin and Feather. Spot. They got one in Atlanta, too, I think.
Mm-hmm. They have, like, two, I think.
Have you been to 1010?
1010. Oh, the wine.
Yeah.
No, I haven't been to the wine.
They got a brunch. They popping.
Yeah. It's nice. I heard they popping.
It's nice.
I don't get to go out during the weekends as much as I would like. And then sometimes, because I'd be DJing.
Yeah.
So, and then when I do get the chance to chill, I'd be trying to take advantage of that.
Kai Stable's nice.
I DJ there. I'll be there in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
That was another place, and that's downtown.
Yeah.
That's another place that I went to, and I was just like, oh, shit. It's nice.
Alta?
And it's black.
You been to Alta?
No, I got, like, a list. I literally been making a list. It's been so many new places. I went to The Wood on Market Street.
Niall's popping.
Niall is right down, literally a block away from that. I've been in there.
I don't know if Martin's is black owned, but I like Martin's.
It's not black owned.
Okay.
It's
Mexican?
Yes, Mexican. Okay. I don't know if he's Mexican per se, but he's Hispanic. But yeah, because he has, like, a
three of them, right?
There's three of them, yeah. There's two, like, the casual restaurants, and then he opened up, like, a kind of, like, a fancy
Every time I go there, I have a good time, though.
Yeah, the food and the drinks.
Because he played the music. He played the music. When I went to, the few times I went to Martin's, they was playing the music. You know what I mean? They was playing the cookout shit. They was playing the YG.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? They was playing the music. And establishment music would tell you a lot about the people they want inside the establishment.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And I was like, okay, whoever owned this spot, they fuck with us. And it was a nice crowd. It's kind of grown and
they
sexy.
They got to. They own, if they didn't, that'd be crazy.
Especially
they
on
Manchester Brea. And La Brea.
Yeah, right. But shout out to LA and the people for this new wave of black establishments. And what's like your dream place to play at? That you haven't played at yet.
There's a lot of places I haven't played at. But I really, really, I really want to play at the Dime.
That's DJ Artistic spot.
I know. I feel like if I DJ at the Dime, I made it.
Yeah, I mean that's a staple.
Yeah,
that's a staple because
they're known for their DJs. Yeah, you know
that place is small as fuck. Though.
Oh Lord, it's terrible when you're like if you get there at the wrong time and on a Saturday night. It is
very, legendary very though,
but it's that's how you know it's like a good time because people be packed in that hallway. It's literally a hallway.
Shout out to the Dime.
People still be in there.
Where's the dream celebrity you want to like? Who would you love to play for?
Beyonce.
Go
straight to the top, Beyonce.
What about city?
I would like to DJ all over. Okay, well, let me go ahead.
Dubai, Johannesburg.
Oh, okay, yeah, I was thinking, like, domestic. Okay, yeah. Somebody, like, not too long ago, I guess they were just trying to put it in the universe, but they were like, you're going to DJ in Ibiza. And I was like, okay, I'll take that manifestation. So now it's on my mind. And I will say, like, I guess maybe because my mom was a DJ, that's who I looked up to. I ain't look up to no famous DJs. Like, I only knew about, like, Kid Capri and shit like that because my mama loved them. But, and then my mama, the way she is, she don't like a lot of DJs.
Right.
So, she picky about who she like. So, my influence is really my mama. I started really paying attention to other DJs when I started DJing just so I could just know what the climate is, what am I up against, what's going on. But it wasn't like I just came up seeing a bunch of DJs and looking up to them like that.
Well, you know, a bunch of little girls going to be looking up to you and listening to this. What should our listeners do ASAP?
You can find me on Instagram at DJGotALot, DJ.GotALot. You'll see my skills and everything. I'm not just trying to get my followers up. If you want to see me in action and everything, look at my highlights on Instagram.
Get her followers up.
No problem with that either.
Thank you for tapping. We rescheduled this so many times.
Right.
Beyonce, I told Beyonce 8 o'clock and Beyonce gets here at 7:59. I tell DJ God a lot. Monday at 8 o'clock, she changed the time 4 times.
No.
And then you said you don't be over here. You don't live too far. I mean, traffic.
Traffic, yeah.
But thank you for tapping in with ASAP. I want you and Artistic on a mic at the same time because we're trying to do this LA thing. And we need to really come up with a coalition of gatekeeping our culture, LA culture and black culture. And I think you two are the ones that's perfect to be a part of the tribe we're trying to start here.
I admire him so much.
Yeah, he's dope.
I look up to him. He's the only DJ that I look up to other than my mom in that way. There are other DJs that I like.
He's the first person I heard that broke Can We Talk. I remember Can We Talk at the Kickback. I'll let you finish up. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, I, like, for real, like, look up to him, like, he has the type of career that I want, and he's the type of DJ that I want to be. And like you having us both together, I'm like, oh shit, hold on, because I really, really look. I don't even think he knows that, but I look up to him like so bad.
when he's going to hear this. He's dope. And what I like about him, too, I know a lot of DJs, but artistic, he from here, you know what I mean? So there's that. But he's tapped in. Like, he's really tapped
in. He's tapped in, and he has a super deep musical knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's what I admire.
So how I knew he was bad, I seen him play, like, on one hand, I probably seen him play 5 times. When he was playing, I don't know what he was playing. He was playing, he went to a Pharrell set. Mm. And he started playing, like, Pharrell songs back to back. But it wasn't like the, he was playing songs that were produced by Pharrell.
Yeah.
And a person who knows music has to know this early shit from before Pharrell became,
stuff that your average person doesn't.
You know what I mean?
He has a lot of that in there.
I was like, he really knows
that brain of his.
Yeah, that was like fascinating. I was like, oh, this dude really, really knows music. Then he went to like a little Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis thing one time. And I know that because I'm a music nerd. So I'm like, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis are producers and songwriters.
Yeah.
They're not like Pharrell or Timbaland or somebody like that.
Right.
They behind the scenes 150%.
Yeah.
But he played like 3 or 4 Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis songs back to back. And I'm like, oh, this dude really, really like knows music. You know what I mean? He's not just playing what's hot. And I'm like, that's talent. That's somebody that really, like we were saying about Jack Harlow, that really studied music and that knows the culture and get it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's something you're born with too.
Yeah. And he was raised by musicians and you could tell.
Okay. So,
like same with me. Right. Not my dad, but my mama.
Right.
Yeah.
Any instruments?
I played piano for like 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Don't ask me to play now. Oh, so I you cannot grew
with
play.
Money.
No. No.
Oh.
No.
Were you taught or you learned?
I was taught.
Okay.
I was taught.
You had a piano in your house?
I did have a piano in my house. It was a small piano.
You grew with money.
No, I did not. We were on Section 8. I swear.
Are we putting Auntie Cookie business out in the streets like this?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.